This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is one half of your sports bros. Rob here, sir.
Sada.
Big Sook's in Iceland. He will be for the next few weeks. He returns a week from this Friday. In the meantime, you will have Mike and Ike shows. That's Mike and myself. You will have John Sakanic in here. Luke will be in here some. And some best ofs. So it's going to be quite a couple weeks here. You never know what you're going to get. We're partying. Today's a big day. We've got a lot of sports news, which we'll get to here in a moment. Club 1080, is this yet another why delay the flight mess? Or is it legit? I ask you, because you know how much I hate when they delay flights or turn planes around for stupid things. They should just keep going to their destination most of the time. This one's interesting, and this one did delay the passengers on the flight for about 3 hours. And I want to see if you think they should have kept going or if it's a legit delay. So we'll have that for you. And are you more likely to spot fake news or share fake news without knowing it? What do you think?
Interesting.
Yes, these will be topics. This hour... has another team passed the Blazers in the West and back to college football expansion? So many questions. So we'll continue that discussion from earlier in our broadcast. Right now, though, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Hello?
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
You're so cute, Jason.
Number five.
Two prominent sportsing coaches are vaccinated but tested positive for COVID. Kansas basketball coach Bill Self and Colts head football coach Frank Reich. Both are asymptomatic and doing fine in quarantine. Meanwhile, the NFL says it will fine unvaccinated players $14,000 for violations of protocols.
It makes me very happy to hear asymptomatic.
Why?
Because it means the vaccine is working.
Yeah.
You may have some of it, but it's not doing anything to you.
Right. And we cannot lose a legend like Bill Self. Frank Reich, man. What?
I mean, they're both kind of legends in their own right.
I got money on the Colts this year. I think the Colts are going to be good.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Carson Wentz buyer.
That's strange.
I'm a buyer.
Okay.
I get it. I go the other way. I think Wentz, as long as he can stay healthy, especially with Frank Reich with the Colts, I think he's going to be good.
Change of scenery is going to help him a lot. Gotta be better than Jacoby Brissett, right? Or how bad Phillip Rivers was last year.
I would agree with that. Quarterback Deshaun Watson is in Texans camp mainly to avoid a $50,000 a day fine. He says he still wants to be traded, and reports are now that Houston is listening to offers, but the asking price is high. They are saying at least 3 first-round picks. Chris Mortensen is reporting that they want some combination of 5 high draft picks and starting caliber players. In other NFL news, this of the contract variety, the Washington football team has locked up defensive lineman Jonathan Allen, who, as we all know, if we watch the NFL, is quite the stud. 4 years, $72 million. He will get a $30 million signing bonus.
Number three.
It is NBA trade season. Big one today, although is it really big? Mike described it as pretty big in his update, and I like that because
there's lots of players and picks going all over the place.
Well, if I teased the next segment and said, hey, really big NBA trade, didn't even say really, I just said big NBA trade, we'll talk about it next, you may stick around for that, and then you would be thoroughly disappointed to hear the actual trade. But he's right. It feels big, but then you start to think about it and process it. It does not involve your Blazers. You decide who won this one. The Grizzlies have dealt Jonas Valanciunas and picks number 17 and 51 to the Pelicans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and picks numbers 10 and 40. Memphis also gets a top 10 protected 2022 first round pick via the Lakers. So what New Orleans does here is they create cap space to sign a free agent guard or match any offer to Lonzo Ball. Cue the Grizzly Adams t-shirts in Memphis, by the way. And then what Memphis does is Eric Bledsoe will probably not stay there.
Chris Haynes reports he's not going to.
They swap out Valanciunas for Adams, and then they move up in the draft on both picks.
Yeah, I think it feels like the Pelicans won the trade, in my opinion. Just because you get Valanciunas and cap space.
Packers camp opens tomorrow, and it appears Aaron Rodgers will be there, but this may be his last one with the team. Adam Schefter reporting the sides are close to finalizing a deal that will keep Rodgers in Green Bay this season, but also pave the way for his exit after this season. Rodgers was not going to report to camp, but this past weekend, the team made concessions that got him to budge. He and Devontae Adams did post on social media the same photo, and it was of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, which is the cover of The Last Dance documentary, indicating that perhaps this is their last run with Green Bay. But at least the Packers get him back, and he is expected to be there tomorrow should this deal get finalized.
Number one.
And number one today is that it is official. Texas and Oklahoma have informed the Big 12 that they will not renew their grant of rights when it expires in 2025. They've also announced that they will apply for membership to the SEC. As of now, they will have to play 4 more seasons in the Big 12, but lawyers will be involved. And their hope is that, one, the Big 12 will dissolve before 2025 and they can slide over to the SEC, or they can cut a deal to leave early. Now, what you should know is that when Texas A&M and Missouri left the Big 12 for the SEC, their original fee was $30 million each, but that was litigated down. They almost cut it in half, actually more than half. It was they ended up paying only $14 million. So if Texas and Oklahoma were to do that, the thought is they would owe, I think it's like $75 million each just to leave before 2025. They probably wouldn't pay that, but they can litigate it maybe down to the $40 to $45 million range, in which case some think maybe that would be a payment they would be willing to swallow, and they would move on to the SEC. More on this coming up. Coors Light brings you the Hot 5 at 5. Live sports are back and always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And let's go back to that Grizzlies-Pels trade. Kind of interesting what the Pels are doing. We'll get to that coming up as well. It's 518 on The Fan.
It's time for Who's Leading the Charge? A look under the hood at the coaches, players, and teams getting it done. Brought to you by Battery Exchange.
Green Bay did a very smart thing, because there were other teams that would have been interested in trading for Aaron Rodgers, despite the Packers saying, we will not trade him. It would have been a situation that would have hung over the franchise throughout the course of the summer. It would have been an enormous distraction not having Aaron Rodgers there.
Yeah, and you know, Aaron Rodgers is not young. So Green Bay now has a year. They get him back. You know, you get a year to make a run at it and then plan for the future, whether that's Jordan Love or someone else. So in the end, Green Bay screwed this up. They shouldn't get a ton of credit, but they salvaged one last season with Aaron Rodgers, and that's a good thing. Battery Exchange has over 14 area locations to serve you. Free electrical system checks for your vehicle. Battery Exchange with an X.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, so the trade today, I don't know about you, but when I saw it, it was through Woj's Twitter, and it had breaking, and it had Grizzlies trade, and then I was instantly going, just scanning the tweet looking for the word Blazers. And that's what it's going to be all offseason. Like, oh my God, they did it. They made a move. Alas, there was no move here for the Blazers.
Although, considering the players traded, I'm not sure the Blazers would have been involved in a move like this. I guess unless they were trading Yusuf Nurkic. But
well, look, we've got a lot of meh in this. But I think what the Pelicans are doing is pretty interesting, and that's why I asked the question, has another team in the West moved past Portland? If the Pelicans get Kyle Lowry,
which is the prevailing thought.
That's right. They this move frees up cap space for them to sign Kyle Lowry or retain Lonzo Ball or
can
match.
They do both?
I don't know that they can do both. I don't know that. I don't know their cap situation. They would have, if they run out Kyle Lowry, I don't know who they'd have at shooting guard, but they would have Brandon Ingram, Zion, and Valachunas.
Who's an underrated big, by the way.
He's good. Yeah. Isn't that better than what Portland's running out there?
I don't know.
With Lillard?
I don't know if it's better, but, you know, it keeps them in the conversation at the bottom of the West, in my opinion. Kyle Lowry is how old now? He's got to be, what, 33 at this point?
I got you. Hold on.
He's 35 already.
Whoa.
So an older Kyle Lowry joining this team, and Valanciunas is a better offensive player than Steven Adams, but I think you probably lose a little bit defensively. It kind of feels like... It feels like a sideways trade to me for them. Does it make them a little bit better? Sure. But I don't know if it does enough to kind of push them up past where they were this year, which was, you know, kind of near the play-in game.
Well, I think that the big thing for them is the cap space there, because it's not just the trade. It's the idea that they could sign somebody. Maybe there's somebody else besides Kyle Lowry. I don't know. But they're interesting. You know, they just got a new coach, Willie Green, they hired, who
was
a
Suns assistant.
Yeah. So he comes from the Phoenix regime. Under Monty Williams, who knows about that? But with Ingram and then Zion getting better, and now Valanciunas, if they can get a good point guard in there, you know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But the point is that teams are making moves in the West.
It is the first of the trades that we will likely see.
It's trade season.
It is, especially with the draft coming up.
Draft is on Thursday.
It is.
And then free agency, I think, is next week? As we're already, August 2nd, right?
Yeah, yep.
Crazy. So it's going to happen fast. We'll see what the Blazers do. The Grizzlies in that deal jump up from 17 to 10 and from 51 to 40. And then they get Bledsoe, who he's going to go somewhere else. And then, boy, his star has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really likes him anymore. And Steven Adams is kind of a dinosaur, but like you said, I mean, he's not Valanciunas, but he's useful.
Great defensive center.
Yeah. Blazers could use him, actually. Backup.
So Memphis is only doing this because they're moving up in the draft, right?
Yeah. I mean, it seems that way. Shed a little salary in the process.
Memphis?
Right.
Well, they're taking on Steven Adams' contract, which is big.
Yeah, but how many years does it have left?
Maybe one or two. And then you have to buy out Bledsoe if you're going to let him go. So I don't know if it's shedding. I think they just wanted to move up in the draft. I think that's what they wanted. They need players who are going to match Ja Morant.
I like Ja Morant.
He's only been in there for 2 years now, so you need guys who are going to match his
timeline.
Well,
who else do they have?
They got Dylan Brooks.
Okay.
Who's been quite good for them, actually, the last few years.
Former Duck.
Don't they have one of the Jacksons?
Yes.
Or is he gone now?
They do have one of the Jacksons.
Justin, Josh, one of those two?
they have Jaren.
Jaren Jackson.
Yeah.
Man, one of the Jacksons. Who else do they have? You got their roster up now.
Yeah.
Help me out here.
Kyle Anderson?
Yeah.
Steven Adams, they just got Steven Adams. Remember that? When they traded for him?
Today? When did that happen?
And Bledsoe, Xavier Tillman. I mean, they don't have
who?
They don't have much around Ja Morant. I like Morant, but
I think that's why you're going back into the draft up to the 10th pick.
Yeah, I guess so, huh? Yeah. All right. Well.
But yeah, I don't think the Pelicans have jumped him quite yet. I do agree with the thought that a lot of teams have jumped the Blazers over the last few years, but there's something about the players in New Orleans. I don't really have a lot of trust in them. You know, Zion could turn out to be incredible, but, you know, I'm still worried that he's not going to stay healthy.
Ingram.
Ingram was fantastic last year, but, you know,
he's kind of weird.
He's weird. I don't really view him as like a star player. He's just good. And then, okay, you bring in old Kyle Lowry. Cool. And Valanciunas is solid. I just feel like you're in the same spot.
I don't know. I think the thing is, it's all about Zion and who you put around him and how he plays with them and what Willie Green wants to do. I don't know. I could see that being a pretty good five, but I'm just looking at their depth chart. Kira Lewis, shooting guard for them?
Nope.
Hello?
Don't know who that is.
I don't either.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Those teams that were out of the playoffs for most of the year.
He was one of their draft picks last year.
I don't know their benches. I don't know their secondary players.
They took him 13th.
I watched them only when the Blazers played them.
Averaged a whopping 6 points as a rook. So,
cool,
anyway.
Cool.
All right, let's get back to college football expansion coming up next. What happens now to the Big 12? 529, here's Mike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we talked a lot about college football expanding in our first hour and 15 minutes of radio broadcast today. So if you missed any of our show, you can go back and find anything you missed at 1080thefan.com or anywhere you get podcasts, the Odyssey app, all that stuff. So what happens to the Big 12 now? Texas and Oklahoma officially say they are they're leaving. They're going to apply to the SEC. They will be approved to join the SEC, but we're going to be in this weird scenario where they're going to have four seasons, including this upcoming season, where their media rights are going to be held by the Big 12, and there's really not much they can do about it.
I did read that they could pay a fee to get out early.
Yeah, that's what we said that in the Hot Five.
$75 million fee or something like that?
Well, the fee is $75 million per team, but as I said in the Hot Five, when Texas A&M and Missouri went from the Big 12 to the SEC, their fee at that time was $30 million each, and that was litigated down to $14 million. So there is a thought that Texas and Oklahoma could only end up having to pay $40 to $45 million, which is still an insane amount of money. But if you think about the fact that their new TV deal with the SEC could get them upwards of $70 million a year, is it that really, you know, is that payment really that bad for them? And would they want to do that? I just think it's weird that they would, that they'll have to play in the big, if they don't do that and the Big 12 doesn't dissolve, they're going to have to play in the Big 12 for four seasons. That's just weird. I mean, imagine, I mean, if I'm the Big 12, I screw them on scheduling.
Oh, yeah.
And refs just be out there throwing flags all the time on Oklahoma, Texas. They'll never win again.
Holding.
Yeah, again.
Holding.
That's right.
False start.
What number this time? 14. I don't know. He held.
Delay again.
He's not even in the game.
It's now first and 75 for the Sooners.
That'll show you. But I don't know. I also don't know really how they recruit. I mean, they'll recruit. They're Texas and Oklahoma, but it's going to be hard to recruit these next few classes when you're telling them, yeah, we're going to be in the stupid Big 12. It's going to suck for basically half of your, if not
your entire
career,
collegiate career.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like the joint statement was a way to kind of be like, hey, look, Big 12, we're sorry, but we're going to keep with the agreement, but we're sorry we're leaving. And then in a month or two, we're going to see, like, they're leaving now.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. This is savage.
It's not. They're savage. Not. I don't think they're staying. Maybe this year, just because it's already so close to the season starting. I bet you in 2022, they're out.
Well, I hope that.
Bound for the SEC.
Well, I think their hope is that the Big 12 dissolves. Because what happens to the Big 12 now? That's the question. Do they stick together? Or do the rats scurry from the ship?
So you think they're waiting for the Big 12 to dissolve before they leave so they don't have to pay?
That's right. I think they think this is going to make the Big 12 crumble, and that way they don't have to pay a dime. They can just jump over to the SEC.
Wouldn't the Big 12 do everything in their power to stay a conference in these 4 years?
Yes, they would. But again, this is what I was saying earlier. This is the dumb thing about college football and the way it's structured. The people that are the Big 12 that run the Big 12 are the same people that have to look out for their own interests to get out of the Big 12. It's the weirdest thing. So if I'm Kansas, I'm talking to the Big 10. But as the president at Kansas, I know the value of jumping to the Big 10 and getting a life raft to go to the Big 10. But I'm also one of the key guys in the Big 12.
And I'm trying to
save the Big 12 at the same time.
You're playing both sides. Yeah.
It makes no sense. This structure is so dumb. And where we've gotten to, but it's just the way it is. So I don't know. I think they're thinking that the Big 12 can't hold on because if they do stick together, you're right. The Big 12 now has an incentive to stay together because one, they're going to get that payout money from Texas and Oklahoma, and there's only eight of them left, right? I mean, you split that eight ways. That's a lot of dough. But at the same time, you may have Iowa State or Kansas or Oklahoma State just saying, screw the Big 12. We're going to go do our own thing.
I think what's curious about this, and it's something I haven't thought about too much. We mentioned it last week when this news first broke, but maybe in the meantime, before any sort of crazy shifts happen in college football, does the Big 12 and do the teams in the Big 12 who are staying there, I think Oklahoma State being, you know, team number one that I would look at, do they say, oh, we have a chance now to finish in first in a major conference, so let's go get UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, whoever. keep the Big 12 alive, and now it's Oklahoma State who's at the top saying, we're a conference champion in the new college football playoff model, and we're going to make the playoff automatically. You know, is there a thought there, instead of all these teams looking to scurry to other conferences, is there a thought of, well, now we're the kings of the castle?
No.
You don't think so?
No, because I think it's all about money, and they know that no matter who they add, they're not going to make that much money. They lost their moneymakers, Texas and Oklahoma, which is why I think Texas and Oklahoma are banking on, like I said, rats scurrying from the ship. There's going to be a couple of them that are like, we can't do this. This is not good. So, I mean, can any of the leftover schools even afford the fees to bail on the Big 12? That's another question. And would the Pac-12 or Big 10 want any of these schools? Academics do matter for those two conferences, but if they do get the opportunity in one of those leagues, how do they say no? Now, the Big 12 does have time on its side, but only if no one panics. And I can't imagine there is no panic. I mean, they're panicking. So do they stick together or not? That's really the question as to what happens to the Big 12. But I think it's all about money.
I think eventually they're all gone. But there's a part of me in the meantime that thinks maybe there's a team or two that thinks we could take advantage of this. You're right. The big money makers are leaving, but maybe they're like, well, then we can be the money makers now. Now we'll be the best school that makes the most.
I think that the Baylors and, I hate to say it, but the Kansases, but maybe basketball will help them. The TCUs.
Basketball can help Baylor too.
Could. Who else is it? Like Kansas State. I think they know that they have an interest in keeping the Big 12 together. Maybe those schools. Baylor, TCU, Kansas State, maybe Iowa State, because they know that there's probably not a chance of them landing anywhere else. So their best bet is to keep the Big 12 together. Let's do this. Like you say, maybe Iowa State can capitalize on that. I think that Kansas may be in the other category with Oklahoma State. Who am I missing?
Well, I think Iowa State would be a good Big Ten option if it's just kept regionalized.
Maybe, but again,
I mean, Iowa's already in the Big Ten. Iowa State's proven to be good,
but again,
both sides of football and basketball.
The Big Ten's major consideration is academics, and
Iowa State is not a great school.
I don't think that they're a research institution. Kansas is, and again, that's why I think the Big Ten is looking out towards the Pac-12. And they're looking at Oregon and Washington, USC and UCLA, maybe even Cal and Stanford. I think that's where the next move needs to be bold. And it needs to be bold by the Big Ten or the Pac-12. Big 12, I don't know how many bold moves they can make, but they better try to make one. It's just that I think the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are more sort of positioned to make a bold move. And that could be either joining forces or the Big Ten just stealing some Pac-12 schools and saying, all right, SEC, now we've got Oregon, Washington, SC, and UCLA.
And then the Pac-12 is in the same boat as the Big 12.
That's right. And then that's the thing, is it's clearly headed towards the schools with more leverage and that can bring more eyeballs and more money to the table. They are leaving behind the lesser schools, the schools riding coattails, which is why I said earlier, this stuff is dirty politics. Is it such a leap to think that the next evolution of these dirty politics is these conferences start kicking out the lesser schools? I mean, it's already smarmy as hell what the SEC just did to the Big 12. So it's clearly headed this way. The question is how does it get structured? What does it end up looking like? Do the lesser schools end up somewhere where they still have, you know, a path to play the bigger schools off in and get in the tournament and this and that? It's just nobody knows what this is going to look like. But I think the Big 12, the Big 10 and the Pac-12 have to be really, really bold. And if they sit and wait and they just say, we're the Big 10, we're the Pac-12, we're about academics, we're about more, we're just going to wait it out, we feel like we're in good shape, that's when I think sometimes you can get left behind. What does the ACC do? There's a lot of shifting going on, and it may not be right now, right behind the Texas-Oklahoma move, but it's coming, and you don't want to be at the bottom of that. The Big 12 is already
at the
bottom.
You don't want to be the last one to make the move.
You don't, and the Big 12 is already screwed in that regard. Don't be the next one, Pac-12 or Big 10, which is why I think the Big 10 holds the most leverage right now. And if I'm Oregon and Washington and USC and UCLA, I am, you're damn sure I'm looking at the Big 10, because it's the same thing as Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC. It's that, hey, we like the Pac-12, but we can make more money over there. It's more high profile. Yes, it's tougher on our teams, but more money means, you know, rising tide lifts all boats type of thing.
Easier travel with more money, right? You get, you know,
it just
makes it easier.
It's a step up for Oregon. I mean, the Pac-12 is good. It's not great. Oregon is the reason why the Pac-12 is good right now. That's it. It may be USC, but the Pac-12 is very much like the Big 12.
And the ACC.
It ain't great, man. And Oregon has leverage. If you can parlay that into more money in a higher profile league like the Big Ten, I think you do it, because the idea that you stay put and just you want things the way they were is just not realistic. It's not going to happen. This thing is changing. It's changing fast.
The second NIL happened, it was the classic model was done. The second that was talked about, there was, you know, maybe some hope, like, oh, okay, these guys will get paid their fair share, but we'll still keep college football. No, it's done. It's turning into a professional sport.
Yep.
And it's where you get to see the beginning of it, which is cool. It sucks for those people who are really, really, really big classic college football fans, but this is it.
The tides
are changing. We did get a text. I'm curious. Maybe we could talk about it next. But if Texas and Oklahoma leave early, what happens to the TV deal? Can the networks back out since they lose the two bigger names? And a different person said, at what point does the TV contract, do the TV contract people say, this isn't what we paid for?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's all going to be in court. It's all litigated. I mean, this isn't the first time this has happened, but it's certainly the first time it's happened at this scale. So I don't know. It's a good question. Lawyers, baby. Lawyer up. All right. Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson in camp. 547 on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Big NFL news today. We learned that Deshaun Watson over the weekend is in camp with Houston. Now he still has litigation and investigations going on. The Texans do want to trade him now, though. He still wants to be traded. He's just there so he doesn't get fined. Will a team really trade for Watson?
I think that ship may have sailed at this point.
I don't know if they will, especially now, because you know, it's like, it's all the same teams, right? The Denvers. Who else would trade for Deshaun Watson? All the teams that they mentioned that need a quarterback, because Rodgers now could be available next season.
Right. Well, so he was available Denver, already, quote unquote, because he wanted to leave.
Yeah, they weren't going to trade him, though. So I think now what happens is, not that they will trade him next offseason. You can't predict that. But you've got two problems, two great quarterbacks, both with problems. One, like if you're Denver, for example, do you trade for Deshaun Watson knowing the baggage that comes with him? I mean, he's a creep. He's a sexual harasser.
And not knowing what's going to happen
exactly
from that, because it's still active.
Exactly.
Do you risk three first round picks and more to go get a guy that may never play football again?
That's right.
No.
And again, he's an ass.
Yes. I was
How are you going to sell that to your team?
I was
or your franchise?
So gung-ho about the Broncos getting Watson prior to all this news coming through, because they desperately need a quarterback and stability there, and he was signed to a long-term deal and has proven to be very, very good. Now, I don't want that. You know, I wanted them to trade for Aaron Rodgers. They can't do that either. So,
well, they can't yet.
Drew Lock it is again, I suppose, or Teddy Bridgewater.
For one more year. But, you know, Watson, you keep an eye on that situation, because I hate to say this, but I bet you he settles that thing and that thing goes away. Right? I mean, it's a real possibility. In which case, at that point, I mean, Greg Hardy got another shot in the league. I mean, he'll get it. Somebody will trade for him.
Of course. It's a different animal because it's the highest profile position in the face of your franchise, whereas Greg Hardy was, you know, pass rusher.
That's true. Somebody will trade for him. They just may not do it now. So do you jump the gun and say, okay, well, we'll take the PR hit. We know he's a creep. But
no, because the asking price is too high now.
Well, that's what they're saying. But they're not going to get three ones for him. I mean, you know, teams that are calling are going to want a low ball because again, all the stuff hanging over his head. And then you've got, on the other hand, you've got Rodgers, where you're like, okay, well, he'll play for Green Bay for one more year, but he hates Green Bay. He's already indicated this will be the last run. He's already restructured everything so that he can get out of it next year and get traded. What if, you know, if Rodgers is available next season, why would you trade for Watson if maybe you can get your hands on Rodgers?
I mean, if we're talking purely football, it's age.
But the problem there is that Green Bay may not trade him.
Rodgers is going to be, what, 39 this year, 38, 39? And Watson's in his 20s. So, I mean, age is one thing. You know, if you trade for Deshaun Watson, you have potentially, a career quarterback.
Yeah, but if Rodgers, you get
2 more years.
If you have a shot at Aaron Rodgers, you're telling me you don't trade for him because he's old?
Of course. Of course you trade for him. You just said you compared the two. I think Watson would be more appealing football-wise only.
Yeah. But again, I'm just pointing out that they both come with a different set of problems and a lot of unknowns.
I mean, again, it's my team. The Broncos did it with Peyton Manning, right? They won a Super Bowl because of it.
Exactly.
It also put them in a position where they now had many, many years of quarterback uncertainty. But, you know, I would do it again. If it gets you to the Super Bowl again, of course.
Well, I think the sweepstakes, you're tired of Aaron Rodgers talk this offseason? Wait until next offseason. Because the sweepstakes to get him for next season begins right now. And my money may be on Denver. I don't know. Can you buy futures on teams for next year already? They probably don't offer that.
Probably not, no.
So teams are going to start maneuvering right now.
The other team that I would keep an eye on is Pittsburgh.
For Rodgers?
For either. Because this is Ben's last year, right? I mean, he's basically said as much. Like he's been thinking about retirement for years, and he got hurt last year and, you know, faded down the stretch. And it looks like he's about ready to hit that point. You know, what do they go with? You can get Aaron Rodgers. You can stay afloat if you're the Steelers.
Mm.
Stay at the top of the AFC.
Mm.
Or you can take the PR hit and go Deshaun Watson.
I don't know if the Rooneys would do that.
You don't think so?
Again, I think we need to let some stuff play out with Watson.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking of other teams. Because the Broncos seem the most obvious, but there are other teams who are in quarterback situations.
Washington.
Sure, of course. What does Minnesota do after Kirk Cousins?
Maybe Philly. I don't know. Anyway, the Bucks just won the title, and they're already yesterday's news up there.
How about the Saints?
Ooh, there you go. Ooh, can you see Rodgers with the Saints slinging it around?
I actually can't picture that. I have a hard time picturing that, but yeah, that'd fit. You know, because Jameis is going to be the starter this year, right? That's the thought. Him and Taysom Hill. Yeah. You know,
eating
that's probably
dubs.
Not going to go great.
I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see Jameis Winston last stand, you know, with a good coach, good offensive mind.
Now with LASIK, new and improved vision.
Not that Bruce Arians wasn't a good coach, but Bruce Arians couldn't get him corrected. He kept turning the ball over. So they just got rid of him. But I don't know. Jameis Winston's pretty good. The guy can sling it. Just
to the other team a lot.
Yeah, he's got to cut down on the turnovers. All right. Well, anyway, Watson in camp. Aaron Rodgers, they're saying, could be there tomorrow. They're close to a restructured deal where the Packers made a bunch of concessions, and that's a smart move for them. That's the right thing. Okay, up next, it's the club. Club 1080, as it's known. Is this yet another why delay the flight mess, or is this one legit? That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.